from far. Okay, folks, this is a test of the Ed Springsteen Show. We apologize for the inconvenience. I don't know if you're getting this sound yet or not. I'm checking with the chat room as we speak. All audio files seem to be a major problem. We're trying to work it out. So bear with us for one moment. I apologize for anything going on. Apparently, it is... It's a Blog Talk problem. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Apparently, our audio files went completely down. We do have us talking, so I guess that's a good thing. So, you know, you don't call us for the music anyway, so let's just take it from there. Let's say hi to our good friend, Mr. Dale Gillespie. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay, all things considered, brother. How are you?
You know what? I hate starting like this. It drives me nuts. there's something major going on somewhere. This is the third or fourth time we've had this problem with Blog Talk. And, you know, of course, we keep getting hacked at the beginning of every show for some reason.
Imagine that.
So I don't know if somebody just finally found a way to get into Blog Talk or not. But apparently our audio files are not working, and that was why we had dead air, and I was trying to figure it out and just could not. And I was hoping we had live mics, so I guess we do.
Yeah, I hear you now. So, in other words, you're just talking about the audio files like that we have on the screening room?
Yeah. You know, all our music, all everything else, they're all
gone.
Did you
have this problem with Mr. Martin, or is it just the Wednesday night thing again?
It's the Wednesday night show again, man.
Nice.
We'll figure it out going forward, I guess.
Apparently, Mr. Martin doesn't piss off the establishment as much as I do, I guess.
Well, you know, Martin plays that fence, and you and I don't. We go off, so, you know, that's just the way
right.
it is. But in the meantime, man, I tell you what, we've got a whole lot of stuff to go over. You know, one of the biggest stories going now, you know, Hillary Clinton keeps trying to deny that she didn't quit to run for president in 2016. We know that's a lie. Her super PAC officially kicked off yesterday. What do you think about a Hillary run in 2016?
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of expected she's going to run. It's a pretty weak crop for Democratic candidates. We know that dear leader Obama will be out if we, I guess, to play into that conspiracy about if we'll actually have elections, if this country still stands in a couple of years, and we know that the establishment will keep reelecting the incumbents. Everybody says they don't like Congress, but they'll keep electing the same congressmen. So I guess that Hillary's got a much better chance at it as anybody, much more than Joe Biden.
Well, you bring up a good point there. You know, I tell you, it is interesting because, you know, I'm so sick of the Clintons. I do not want to see a Hillary Clinton presidency. I didn't want to see it before, although certainly I would have liked her over Barack Obama any day of the week if those were the only two choices given. You know, but I just get sick of the game that they play. No, we're not really doing that. We're going to relax. And, oh, by the way, please give money to my super PAC so I can build up a campaign for fair. You know, it's just silly stuff. You know, in the meantime, we've got all kinds of other things going on. Hillary is just one example. We're going to have to get into the United Nations tonight. I know you're very, very aware of them passing this so-called gun treaty.
Yep.
We want to talk about how that's going to affect us going forward. And I know that's a major story everybody wants to hear about tonight. But before we get there,
yep,
I want to talk a little bit about our financial situation. We've been harping on the economy all week, you know, and we're on the verge of bankruptcy as a nation. We know that. Our government cannot live within its means, and we continue getting, these are news stories out yesterday and today that we didn't get into before now. You know, some of those stories, Katrina relief, you know, what happened with Katrina? Well, a lot of people don't understand. There was about almost $1 billion that was approved for Katrina through the Department of Housing and Urban Development. And this was money that was supposed to go to Louisiana homeowners. What this money was supposed to go for was to elevate their homes and protect them from future storms of flooding and stuff like that. Well, the IG apparently found a few problems with that. A new report released from the Inspector General's office showed that more than 24,000 homeowners received up to $30,000 apiece to elevate their homes and pocketed the money. We have $700 million out of that almost $1 billion that is missing. That is missing. You know, so you're looking at $1 billion that was earmarked for this project, $700 million that wasn't used for it, you know, and we've got a budget problem. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I've said a long time ago there are two sets of books. We have each state, individual state, will talk about how they're going bankrupt, and some cities, like out in California, going bankrupt, and then you have the actual real numbers, the comprehensive annual financial reports. So there's always two sets of books, and they don't want to cut any spending. It's always, oh, you're going to starve kids, you're going to starve grandma. Well, you know, if you want to put that out there, do you want to have a government at all, or do you want to feed kids and grandma? Because remember, government is their god, it's their religion, so if they put government before everything else, say, hey, what's it going to be? Do you want to have a bigger government? Or do you want to cut things? And if they want to cut things, then they're going to have to start actually having really big cuts and not just decreases in the increase of growth each year.
Well, you know, and you're absolutely right. And that's exactly what we've been talking about for a long time now. We do not have a funding problem. We have a spending problem. And that's exactly what we do. So while we're sitting here trying to say that 70% of our money is missing, you know, due to Hurricane Katrina relief funds, of our taxpayer money, you know, President Obama is now trying to push banks to make home loans to people who otherwise can't get them right now. It's looking like we're going back to the same plan under Bill Clinton that created the housing market crisis in 2008. Now he wants to make affordable housing, so-called affordable housing, affordable for everybody, and he still hasn't corrected and fixed the mistake from the housing crisis in 2008. So where is this money going to come from? Dale?
No, I didn't know you were finished there. Again, like I said, I don't ever trust the numbers that they put on the books. I'm just sitting there studying some of the United Nations stuff you talked about. But, you know, I don't trust any of the numbers they put out there. They need to cut spending. And we know that, like you just said, we have a spending problem. We don't have a budget problem. We need to go with the argument that Ron Paul and Rand Paul have worn on their lapel for a long time. And that is the little penny, if anyone ever knows the penny that they wear on their jacket. And that is for no more, not one more red cent for this kind of spending crap.
Well, I agree with you, and we do need to get back to that, but I'm not sure how we're going to get there. And one other little tidbit on this, too, before we move on, because I know you want to get into the gun situation in the United Nations, because I know you do. But one of the things that we want to get into, too, is the Department of Defense Inspector General, the IG, goes through every year to every military installation. The IG does nothing but inspect.
Yep.
Military installations and spending and stuff. I'm familiar with that. Went through four of those when I was in the military. It's an annual inspection. You know they're coming. You don't know when they're coming, but you know they're going to come. They don't announce the day they're going to be there or nothing. But long story short, the Defense Department, the Army particularly, they have a program called a Striker program. And I don't know if you saw this story or not. The Army program, the Striker program, is basically responsible for keeping thousands of the eight-wheeled Striker vehicles, up to speed. They, you know, these things were popular in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Army did not take care of its books. They got nailed to the tune of about $900 million. Yeah, folks, you heard me right. $900 million worth of Striker replacement parts that will never be used for replacement. A good example of that, there's a thing called pinions. Gear pinions is what they are. And anybody knows anything about gears, know you got these little pinions that go inside of them and stuff like that. Keeps everything running smooth. Well, anyway, they had 9,179 of these pinions that the Army bought as a temporary fix. Because when the Striker first came out, they had a suspension problem. So they bought these extra pinions as a temporary fix for the Strikers between 2007 and 2009. Until they could get the new ones, the malfunction fixed and brought straight from the factory in 2010. But what happened here was the Army kept buying the pinions even though they didn't need them. It needed only 15 of these gears. They've got 9,164 that they just kept buying that they didn't need and weren't going to use because the problem was fixed. That's $572,000. That's one example. You've got $57 million that they were spending on obsolete infrared equipment to go on these Strikers that they don't need anymore. All of this stuff sits in these warehouses for who? General Dynamics. You got it. Military Industrial Complex.
Yep.
This is what goes on with our money. This is just one example. I've pointed out many examples from my time in the Air Force of military spending and the way these guys work. But this is one example. Continuing to buy parts 2 and 3 years after they're obsolete just to keep a defense contractor happy should be screaming to the American people, we've got a problem. But yet it doesn't. And, of course, this was done with a no-bid contract. What gives?
Well, it's much like the way that nonprofit groups are designed. They have to spend the money so then they can come back the next year and justify the same budget. Because if they don't spend all the money, then it would be really easy to look at the bottom line and say, hey, we can cut money here. So they waste money to defend themselves. They're defending their own self-interest. They're trying to hold on to their own jobs. So I know what it's like with these nonprofit groups, and they pattern themselves after government. If the particular department or division doesn't give the same spending on paper, then they might not get that money allotted until next year or so. They just buy whatever they can to keep that department alive.
Well, that's exactly it. But do you go out and spend billions of dollars buying obsolete parts that are 3 years out of date? You know what I mean? I mean, that's the thing for me, and that's what they're doing. And they're buying it from preferred defense contractors, people like General Dynamics who spend millions and millions of dollars lobbying Congress so that they can keep these government contracts, no-bid contracts at that, and drive up the cost for American people. So these are some of the things that I was trying to bring to the point last night when we got into some of this budget issue. I didn't really get a chance to get as far as I did. I wanted to give everybody those two examples because I think those examples are very important and what's really going on with our money. Now, we're going to get to this story now because I know it's going to take up most of this show. It's just the way it always works when you get into guns. The UN General Assembly overwhelmingly approved the very first international treaty that's going to regulate the multi-billion dollar global arms trade. They did this yesterday. They've been working on this for a decade.
Yep.
And their justification is that this is going to keep weapons from falling into the hands of terrorists, warlords, organized crime, and human rights violators. We actually voted in favor of this.
Sure.
Our UN Secretary General. actually voted in favor, took the vote, and the United States voted in favor of this.
Yep.
Talk to me, Dale.
Well, the first thing I see is the numbers in the vote, and you see how overwhelming it was. They voted by an overwhelming margin of 154-3. And then, like you said, the United States was one of the ones voting for it. But 23 countries abstained. I thought what was interesting, 23 countries that abstained included two of the world's most prolific arms traders, Russia and China, and two of the major buyers, Egypt and India. They were among the 23 that abstained. I thought what was interesting, this global treaty on conventional arms, the only three countries that voted against it, Syria, North Korea, and Iran.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you?
That's exactly it. How do you... Russia and China obviously aren't going to follow the rules anyway. They're already proving that.
Well, they abstained in the vote, so they're trying to look neutral. If anyone's going to believe that, and nobody pays attention to what the United Nations does. But you can kind of read between the lines. And the treaty has no automatic enforcement, but it wants to push the weapons industry to take human rights into account, supposedly. And countries abiding by it are going to establish national controls on arms exports, and we have to ensure that weapons being exported would not be used in genocide or homicide or by terrorist or organized crime. There's no way to control that.
Well, and see, that's exactly it. That's always been the fallacy of the ultra-liberal group when it comes to gun control. You're not going to control guns. When a criminal wants to get something, they're going to get it. Criminals don't follow laws. Law-abiding citizens follow laws. Criminals don't. They're going to get what they want. And when you look at this guns, this so-called gun treaty, and I see it nothing more than another grab at our guns.
Sure.
When you look at this, for one thing, in the United States, I would be very, very shocked if they got the 2/3 Senate majority vote to accept this. They're not going to get the 2/3 to win ratification in the Senate. I just don't see that happening.
No.
So I'm not too worried about what it's going to do with us. But the reality is, when you look at Iran, North Korea, Syria, and China, when you look at the weapons these guys are getting a hold of, they're basically not getting them by legal means anyways. That's what we've had all these daggone, UN sanctions on. You can't get this, you can't get that. But as we know, North Korea is still building nukes. We know that Iran is still getting weapons.
The United States welcomed the vote, and they said that it would help stem weapon shipments that fuel war crimes. And, of course, we have a Secretary of State, John Kerry, now, who called the measure strong and effective and implementable. And then you had British Prime Minister David Cameron said it was a landmark agreement that's going to save lives and stop suffering around the world.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And, of course, John Kerry has family ties to Iran through his son-in-law. So, you're absolutely right. And this is the thing. I mean, we're not going to get this. Now these guys are basically trying to talk about weapons. They're not really thinking about the nukes as much as they are trying to blame it on, regular arms, like semi-automatic weapons, things like this. And, of course, they estimate that this is a $60 billion program or $60 billion a year, in the global arms trade, and they expect it to go over $100 billion in the very near future. So, there's a lot of money at stake here. But the reality is law-abiding people aren't going to have any problems with this, because we're the ones who do everything the right way. So I've got a real problem with this, and I tell you, one of the biggest things I've got is when you look at this, let's take a look at what's really going on here, because the president, Obama, is already trying to take out the handguns.
Oh yeah,
he can't get them through the Congress, so he's just buying up all the ammo. When you look at every reality that's happening here, Obama continues to claim he's doing all this for the children, but after the UN approved this arms trade treaty, the Obama administration came out and said this was a design to crack down on illicit arms trafficking, but you're not going to stop that with criminals, and basically it really is nothing more than a shot at stamping out the gun rights in the U.S. It's self-implementing. I'll be quite honest with you, once the UN does this, Obama can use executive order and ban all the handguns, and he can use this treaty as justification for it.
Well, my question is, because I have to ask, when he's doing this for the children, is he talking about the American children that he and all his Chicago buddies want to abort, or is he talking about the foreign children that he takes out with drones? Which Which children did he help kill? What's he doing this for?
You know, I'm glad you went down that road.
I mean,
because,
the most,
you know,
I mean, I know in the abortion argument, you don't like to talk about that one here, and I just have to implement for 1 second to talk about that, because, again, he's probably the most pro-abortion president we've ever had, and you also have, like I always tell people, he's killed more children abroad than all other Nobel Peace Prize winners combined.
You know, I totally agree with you there, and that's really interesting. I don't have any problems talking about abortion on this show. You know that better than anybody. But, you know, it really is interesting because we've continued to talk for a long time now about this massive weapons buildup right here on the homeland through the Department of Homeland Security. And ultimately, when you start seeing this kind of behavior, it kind of makes you understand why Obama has bought up 2 billion rounds of handgun ammunition.
Yep.
Why we have spent billions of dollars buying up 2,500 light-duty tanks to use on American streets. Why the Department of Homeland Security has bought 7,000 AR-15s. And then you throw in all these other federal agencies out there, the FBI, the IRS, I mean, you name it, all these people out there, you know, are buying all these things to so-called protect us. Protect us from what? What are they going to protect us from?
Well, this is why I want to get into this arms trade treaty thing. It's hard to tell us how the players in the game, even if you have a scorecard, because, again, it kind of ran into a stumbling block when you had Iran and Syria and North Korea objecting to it because they declared it was too favorable to the interests of the United States. Now, no, don't make any bones about it. They mean the United States government. It doesn't benefit us as the American people, but it's the preamble of the Arms Trade Treaty points to the United Nations Charter as the source of guiding principles upon which the agreement is based. Citizens of the United States, however, don't recognize the United Nations as the source of all their rights. Not even the Constitution claims to be the giver of rights. It says it's merely the protector of them. So the UN would seek to have the Declaration of Independence replaced by the Declaration of Human Rights. And that's over on their website. If you go to un.org/en/documents, you can find the Declaration of Human Rights. And basically, the Declaration of Human Rights, if you want to look it up, people think this is conspiracy theory stuff, go to the United Nations' own webpage, and it says that the government would replace the creator as the source of rights.
I understand that. I'm with you there. And that's what really concerns me a lot, I guess, is because our Constitution gives us all these rights.
No, it just says that we have them. The Constitution doesn't give them to us. Just says that they're there. And that's the thing. Not even people who think that the Constitution gives them to us are correct, because the Constitution just says that we were given them to us by our creator.
Okay. All right. I'll go with that. But I guess the point I'm really trying to get at is that, you know, we have all of these rights given to us by our creator. Our Constitution outlines certain rights for all of us and everything else. You know, and the American people are continuing to let those be taken away from them.
Yep.
You know, now, since our own president can't seem to get what he wants, which is total domination and control over the American people, by taking the guns, you take the ammo, then you vote for a UN treaty to outlaw these guns. You know, and this sets the stage for him to come in and assume control and executive power through executive order and simply ban them.
Yeah, definitely.
The children. I mean, who's going to be left?
We've talked about how they don't give a damn with the children. And, you know, our friend Paul and I have been on the show here talking about how they always make up arguments about the children. But just look what they really say. Look what they say behind the scenes. Peter Wolcott, who is the president of the conference and ambassador from Australia to the United Nations. You know, Australia got rid of the guns a long time ago, right? There's no guns there. All the criminals have them. That doesn't count. But Peter Wolcott, who's the ambassador from Australia, ordered that the treaty be sent to the Secretary General of the United Nations for presentation to the General Assembly, and the Obama administration is determined to make it happen.
You know, I think you're absolutely right, and I don't think there's much doubt about that. And, you know, and it's amazing to me that we, the American people, are allowing that opportunity. That's what's really getting me. And I can't understand how he's continuing to get away with this in any way, shape, or form. I just don't know. All right, we're going to try to take a break. Well, let me see if this audio works real quick. If not, we're not going anywhere. Hang on one second here. I have no clue. This is crazy.
You can sing to them, Ed.
Yeah, we can do that. Y'all want me to sing a lullaby? No, I'm not going there, folks. I don't do that. Nope, I guess the audio is still not working. I'm not hearing anything in the background, so
I don't know. If you have any audio on your computer, If you have any
I do, but I don't have it set up that way.
Okay.
I've got everything coming straight off here. I guess I'm going to have to set it up that way, though. We'll just have to set up a back line so I can do it that way. Okay. Well, we're going to stay here. All right. So if Obama bans all these handguns, he's went out and he's bought up 2 billion rounds of ammunition. He's went out. He's bought up 2,500 light-duty tanks, 7,000 AR-15s, all for this civilian military force that he says we have to have because they've got to be funded equal to or greater than our own military. So putting all these things together in one place tells us we've got some serious problems. When we talk about security, I don't think many of the American people can sit out there and say that this is going to make them feel secure. So what are we going to do here?
Well, it's getting people off their asses. As I said on my show last week, they've got to get involved. How many people know this is going on? Too many people are distracted by the bread and circuses, and it's sports, it's pop entertainment and gossip. They're much more worried about what these idiots on their television are doing than they're worried about what the government officials are doing. If you try to tell them that's happening, you get the, oh, that can never happen here. And that's exactly what the Jews said in Germany. They did not think it could happen there, and they did not have the weapons with which to defend themselves.
And we're basically going down the same road. And that's what people aren't understanding. That's what we're trying to talk about when you talk about history.
Yep.
Repeating itself, because this is exactly this is the Adolf Hitler rule book. You know, when you look at this and really pay attention to what's really going on, I don't think many people can argue and say that this is what the real deal is. Now, how do you get the money to pay for all of this stuff? Well, for one thing, you give defense contractors like General Dynamics overinflated no-bid contracts. You buy up all these parts that you don't need that are just going to sit in a warehouse, and you redirect that money through General Dynamics so you don't get caught to different organizations to do what they do. Anybody thinks that you're actually paying $700 for a hammer or a toilet seat in the military is living in a fantasy land. They'll show that on the books, but that's not what you're really paying for that. That money is what they use and they hide for secret operations. Now, some of those may be good secret operations you may agree with. You know, I don't know. You know, was that money funneled to send a SEAL team and train the SEAL team to take out Bin Laden? If indeed he was taken out, we can argue that one all day. You know, yeah, maybe so. Was that a worthy avenue to use that money? Yeah. But should it have been done the way that it was? No. We have to have transparency, and we're not getting that. And this is one other reason why, isn't it?
Well, I totally agree.
Well, you're not talking much tonight. Okay.
No, I mean, I totally agree with you. The problem is with this UN thing, and you would ask the question what people on the Internet that I talk to would ask, which is how to stop it before there's blood on the streets. And again, the truth about this is they've been trying to hammer out this unilateral trade or arms trade treaty for a long time. But in truth, you need to look at the people who are behind it. They don't really want to take away the arms from the government organizations. If you look at what it's all about, it's about the non-government entities. So, again, it's like war is peace and peace is war. They say they want to stop all war, but they don't want to stop the war that they start themselves. So that's the most egregious affront to the sovereignty of our own United States, is there's not a single word in it that protects the right to keep and bear arms, and they had no desire to stop war.
And the sad reality is, though, the real war has yet to be fought. You know, we continue to talk about Afghan wars, Iraqi wars, all these other wars over in the Middle East. But the real war that's going on right now is the war against the American people.
Yep.
The real war that's going on right now is the government versus the people. Well, and they're getting away with this.
Yeah, and the UN, like I said, just read the fine print. They don't want to seize arms from governments, but from non-state actors. That's in the writing. That means you and me. The internationalists want to consolidate power, but that means power over weapons and warfare. Nobody who can read English could fail to recognize that plainly written, but nobody reads their own documents. It's like you tell people this is going to happen, and they think you're crazy. It's like, how did you know that was going to happen? And the example I always give, if I'm watching a basketball game and I see a guy taking off from the sideline about to dunk the ball, and I say, hey, he's going to dunk the ball, it doesn't make me some genius for telling you what I can read is going to happen.
You're absolutely right. So, you know, I don't know what it's going to take to get people rolling with this. I really don't. But I do know that we've got a serious problem here.
Yep,
and part of that problem, ultimately derives from our Congress. As me and Ed Martin were talking about last night, it's the whole transparency thing that's having a real problem here. When I talk about the fight against the American people from the government, I'm not lying about that war. It's a propaganda war.
Yep.
That's how you start wars. You start wars by using propaganda. You build things to your way of thinking, to your way of liking, and then when you think you've got enough consensus that you're going to be able to impose your will, then you go in and you strike militarily. In my opinion,
I'll tell you this: you and I have talked a lot about the weapons and the guns and the bullets that the government's bought up. We've talked about this for weeks and weeks, and not months here. And give Senator Tom Coburn credit. He sent a letter to the Department of Homeland Security, an agency that has no business being armed in the first place. You know how they're buying these billions of rounds and rounds of ammunition.
Yep.
Well, their excuse for buying the billions of rounds of ammo is exposed as another blatant lie, because a significant portion we talked about of the ammo was hollow point rounds. And we know that those are more expensive. We talked about this before. We talked about they wanted a significantly lower cost, quote unquote. They would purchase full metal jacket rounds, not hollow points.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And when we look at this, you know, this is the propaganda war. Nobody in mainstream is calling these guys out on anything. They are not calling them out on anything. And that is very disturbing in its own right, huh?
Another question I have, because I really don't watch any mainstream, and mainstream to me includes Fox News. Do the quote-unquote conservative news people, are Fox News and talk radio even talking about this?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. I said no mainstream, and I meant that. Fox News as well.
Right.
You know, that's all considered mainstream. You know, they're not talking about this. You know, for example, the money that I just talked about, Department of Defense, the Inspector General of the Army, you know, that was out in November. One blogger put that information out there. That's incredible. Mainstream never touched it. Oh, now you've got the Washington Times and everybody else starting to get into it. Now they want to talk about it because that blogger was able to get some traction on that story, and now they can't hide it anymore, so they're talking about it and putting those kind of numbers out. But they didn't talk about it for 5 months. Only when the blogger got notoriety for that story, the mainstream decided to go pick it up, and they picked it up 5 months later.
Yep.
They didn't want to talk about it during the so-called sequester. They decide to put it out after Congress kicks a can down the road and gets through the next few months.
Definitely.
So, you know, it's all by design. And that's that propaganda war that's going on for the American people and their American mind. You need further proof of it? I can give you 1,000 examples. But, you know, here's another one. You know, we mentioned it a little bit last night. But, you know, 2 years ago, you know, Congress decided that they were going to ban earmarks and spending. So, you know, this was going to make congressional spending more transparent. Is what they try to tell us on. We know that's a lie. As of in 2011, the Department of Transportation, just one department alone, received 1,078 congressional letters of support to fund all these different projects in 2011. So Congress is doing the same thing they're doing. They're just doing this in a letter of support that we may or may not be able to see, depending on your Freedom of Information Act, which you know, requests. So, you know, a lot of things we've already found out, we proved it last night, that about, 30% of these things are missing anyway. So we're not even being able to see those. You get into this and you start looking at all the spending problems, everything else that we've got going on. You start looking at the defense budget completely screwed, Department of Transportation completely screwed. You know, 70% of our money went missing in hurricane relief efforts with Hurricane Katrina, which is why they were so hesitant to give out quick money to Hurricane Sandy victims in New Jersey, you know. But then you've got a president who's going on all these vacations. When he's not on vacation, his wife is taking 20 vacations a year.
I ain't never seen so many vacations between him and big ass Michelle and Joe Biden. I mean, they take more vacations than I've ever seen.
It's incredible. They're spending millions and millions of our dollars going on vacation. It's a constant vacation, is what it is, you know. And it's not just the president. It's not just the vice president. You know, we've got to look at the reality here. You've got Michelle just constantly on vacation. She doesn't do a damn thing but run around the daggone world on our tax money, you know, with Secret Service protection, which costs us even more. But, hell, let's look at his own kids, for example.
Yep.
Let's look at Barack Obama's kids.
Yep.
You know, just this year alone, The family itself has been on 3 vacations. That's one a month. You know, then you got to throw the kids. This is, you know, they're on spring break now with all this Secret Service protection. Throw Michelle in, who's always traveling around the world. You know, I mean, I'm really having a problem understanding this from a financial standpoint. Then we've got the Congress, like I said, going back to, oh, well, gee, we don't want everybody to know what we're spending. There are some serious problems here. So now we're going to go after
the first term. In the first term, I half jokingly said that I thought they were all just taking all these vacations in the first family because they were trying to get what they could in 4 years because I knew they had a limited time. But we see the uniparty, as we call them, both parties made sure that there was no serious constitutional opposition in November. You know, you either couldn't get anywhere in the Republican primaries or you had local Republican parties like we did here with Shelley May screwing us out of any chance of getting a real Ron Paul candidate up there. And then you get to the general election and we know you can't have any third-party candidates there. So, you know, I used to think that these people were taking all the vacations, these people being the Obamas, because they knew they only had 4 years to do it. And now I guess they figure they're not accountable to anybody, so they're going to do what they want anyway in the second term.
Well, you're exactly right. And, you know, and that's what makes it all the worse, because, you know, we're looking at this, you know, the Obama administration is the very least transparent administration there.
Yep.
This Congress, to me, is the least transparent. That Congress includes Democrats and Republicans, folks, the uniparty.
Yep.
You know, this is all that propaganda war I keep talking about. Nothing gets passed to the press unless the president approves it. He's got his own, you know, Facebook pages and all this other stuff. He puts his own press out and certainly bypasses the mainstream media, and that's why the mainstream media kisses his ass to get what access they can. You know, so we're losing so much information because of the way they play these in-round games, you know, while they're screaming, we're the most transparent presidency ever, because they sent a picture out of Michelle Obama or Barack Obama with a smile on their face, you know, acting like they're doing something. They'll put a picture out there like that. At the same time, they're out there hiding and not disclosing, you know, the real information we need, like birth certificates, budgets, yes. You know, the real important stuff. So we look at all of this stuff. Then we look at this propaganda war going on, and now the weapons situation is coming to a complete head, full force. You know, Charles Krauthammer, you know who he is, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, according to Fox News, and I don't normally use Fox as a source, but, you know, according to Fox News, gun rights activists have always talked about the dangers of this treaty. They've been fighting it for 10 years. This treaty that the UN just passed is going to result in a firearms registry, which is exactly what Hitler did when he took the guns. You know, and the critics say that this is going to give U.S. sovereignty on the Second Amendment to the UN, which is exactly where I think they're headed. So, you know, but it's really interesting. Charles Krauthammer, you know, goes on to say in an interview with Brett Baer that all of this stuff, the delays, the regulation, the arbitrariness, the unfairness, is a direct result of taking over a sixth of you, of the American economy on a flyer, on a system that nobody else has devised in the history of man.
Yep.
So all these test periods, including and up to Adolf Hitler, every period of time we've went through history, they've improved on this type of system. This is the next chapter, if you will, on that system of a takeover. Would you believe that's true?
Well, I'm just thinking about, you know, you said Charles Krauthammer, and he's an interesting character, because if you go back with this guy just in the last month and we started talking about all the ammunition that they were buying out, he tried to cover for the government. He sat there, I guess he's supposed to be conservative, but he claimed that the amount of ammunition purchased by Homeland Security was less than previous years than it had been. I mean, I don't know which side he's coming from. Krauthammer's an interesting character, but again, I don't believe anything that they're saying. We've seen the ammunition they're buying, and there's not really a way to hide it if you just go look at the documents.
Well, I don't know how Krauthammer could have come to that conclusion, because we have never ever had an arsenal on U.S. soil set up for U.S. soil use.
I know.
Like we're seeing today. You're seeing ammunition that would cover all of the training of the United States military for well over 100 years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They just flat out lied to us on TV. This is an article that was put out over, of all places, thinkprogress.org, and they claimed that the Homeland Security was justifying the purchase of all this ammunition in a letter to lawmakers by saying, oh, they regularly purchase ammunition in bulk to save money. Well, we've been over all that. And then they quoted Fox News' Charles Krauthammer, who said the amount of ammunition is less than in previous years, which we know is a complete lie.
Well, there's no doubt about it. So, you know, that's the thing, because all these are new purchases. That's where Krautheimer is wrong at. I think what he's trying to do is combine the old and the new.
Yep.
But, you know, like saying, well, we had, you know, let's say we had 1 billion rounds on hand. They just bought 600,000, which is a lot, because this is new spending on new ammo, and we've got the receipts to prove that. You know, and you know, and that's, again, you know, we get into this propaganda war, because we continue having this propaganda war that guns are bad. Now you're seeing the next stage, because who has been saying that they won't enforce any laws that are going to force them to take away the guns from legal gun owners? The sheriffs, right?
Yeah,
the sheriffs and the states have been out there talking about this. They're not going to do that. Now all of a sudden, what's going on? We're seeing prosecutors and sheriffs, which we've never seen this before. Now it seems like this is going to be a daily occurrence where a prosecutor is getting killed somewhere. We had a sheriff in Mingo County killed. This story came out today in West Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia. You know, now all of a sudden the sheriff was just sitting in his car eating his lunch, and somebody just drove up, he rolled down his window, and they shot him dead. You know, now we're seeing this. I find it hard to believe that any of this is coincidence.
Well, you should, because it's hard to believe it's just some random act of violence. I mean, listen, the sheriff is probably about the most constitutional position, or if you flip it around, say the most important position in the Constitution. That's why people like Sheriff Richard Mack have become as popular as they are, because there are constitutional sheriffs who stand up to all this crap, who actually want to enforce the Bill of Rights and stand up for the 10th Amendment and protecting people's liberties. So it doesn't surprise me. I'm sad to say that I'm probably going to see more sheriffs suffer these mysterious deaths in the future.
Well, you know, and that's exactly it, because, you know, I'm really having a hard time getting this. This, to me, is an orchestrated effort as part of that propaganda war. I really do, because the sheriffs have went public saying they're not going to enforce these laws. So Congress, the president is already trying to sit out there and take over with a new federal program that's basically going to allow the feds to come in and take over the sheriff's departments if they refuse to honor the law, regardless of the fact that their own Department of Justice refuses to honor the law. Let's look at Eric Holder and Barack Obama and the things that they refuse to honor when it comes to law. But they want to tell us this. So, you know, we're going through this, but now all of a sudden we've got law enforcement officers, if you will, including prosecutors, sheriffs, that all of a sudden are being targeted. And where are they being targeted at? Texas, West Virginia.
So they're being targeted.
Two of the biggest gun rights states there are.
Right. And the problem is they won't target them in Louisville, because look at the sheriff that we have. I don't know. I mean, you know, Ed, more about the local troublemakers that people elect here. What do you have to say about our own sheriff here in Louisville?
They're not going to mess with him. They know better.
But I don't see Aubrey as one who's going to defend our constitutional rights. Do you?
You know what? I actually
don't know.
That's
why I want to ask you.
When it comes to the gun rights situation, I actually do think he'll defend that. You know, there's a lot of things about the current sheriff that a lot of people don't like. A lot of things I don't like. I can't really say that what he's doing is illegal, because if he was, I'd already nailed him on it.
Right.
But I will say this. You know, I think in that situation that he would protect the rights of gun owners. Because here in Louisville, we know that the private citizens that have the gun are the only reason that the gangs stay centralized in a couple of different locations.
Yep.
It's the only reason you see most of the hard drug traffic staying in a couple of different areas of locations. You know, because they know if they come into suburbia of white America, we're going to blow their asses away.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the sheriff knows that, too, because crime is underreported in Louisville majorly.
Yep.
Majorly. But
you talked about that. Yeah.
It would be so much worse if they took away our guns. So I think he would stand up for that. And I love a Rand Paul thing here, too, because Rand Paul was talking about this, because you've got Jim Carrey out there and all these other nuts in Hollywood, you know, screaming about gun control and gun rights and everything else. And Jim Carrey is a Canadian, which makes it all the more funny. You got Obama. Actually, Obama's putting together this massive all-star list of musicians he's going to have our taxes pay for another White House party for him and his wife coming up in the very near future. Okay. But Rand Paul actually said, you know, he went out there and put it best. He said there's hypocrisy, that there's a certain amount of hypocrisy that the same Hollywood celebrities and prominent politicians, including our lovely Dianne Feinstein, you know, President Barack Obama and Mayor Michael Bloomberg,
yep.
are out there screaming for gun control, yep. but they never go anywhere without armed protection.
No, and it's, I mean, that's why I'm glad you brought up the sheriff, because here's the thing. People might say, when they hear me say that the sheriff is most important with the Constitution, you know, they might come back and say, well, there's no references to a sheriff per se in the federal Constitution. He's not named there because he's a state officer. However, you will find that the sheriff is part of the Constitution for your state. The sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer. No one ever hears this anymore, but the sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer of a subdivision of the state, the county. And he is only answerable to the people within the county who have elected him.
Well, that's exactly right. He's got more power and authority than the chief of police does.
Yep.
You know, and people don't understand that, you know. And, but, you know, and that's the thing. I think Aubrey here would do the right thing.
I hope so. I mean, yeah. I haven't heard him stick his neck out to defend any of these other sheriffs. And to be honest, he has nothing to gain if he does it, except for maybe more constitutional backers. And I think he probably knows that the Democrats elect him and that we're still a majority Democrat county. So I think maybe he's scared to speak up because it might hurt his election futures.
Well, I'll be honest with you. As many problems as I have with the local Democratic mafia here in Louisville, I really believe that half the Democrats on the Metro Council would not agree to something like that in Louisville. There's obviously three or four that will, that's locked in, guaranteed. You got your Tom Owens, you know, your Madonna Flood, your Vicky Welch, you know, the Save the Whales crowd. But for the most part, I think you have other Democrats that are on the Metro Council that wouldn't stand there for this either, you know. So it is interesting. I think Rand Paul has said it best. You know, I mean, he went on record as saying that he don't begrudge any famous person like Bloomberg, Obama, or anybody else for having protection, you know, for having armed protection. He thinks they all should because there's enough crazy people out there that's going to attack anybody, whether you're on the right or the left. But when these guys are allowed to have weapons and nobody else is, there's a big hypocrisy there. You know, you look at the rich Hollywood celebrities, for example, you know, Jim Carrey and all those guys. They got the money to go out and buy all this armed security everywhere they go. You know, but you look at a guy that has a West End liquor store, for example, who's not allowed to have a gun. You know, this guy's going to get robbed and his life's threatened all the time. Violent crime, you know. So there's a lot of things here that we have to really address.
Well, you just said it's about the money. I mean, they have the money. And they think there's two different classes of people. They think we're in India with a caste system, and we are to a certain degree because, like you just said, they can afford to buy the bodyguards, but they tell us depend on your government police officer, which we know in seconds matter. The police will be there in about 30 minutes. And they tell us, you know, trust your children to the government schools, but they put theirs in private schools. So look what they're doing. Pay attention to what they do, not what they say. They have the private protection. They have the private schools. But they tell you, you should just hang there at the whim of whatever the government can provide you.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. So, you know, and that's where the problem is. So we started the propaganda war. We have allowed ourselves to get drawn into this Second Amendment issue. The nation is totally divided. You've got these mass killings that are done by crazy people because they don't want to make the crazy people accountable, so they got to make the law-abiding citizens accountable. You've got the UN now sticking their nose into where they don't need it to be, passing these arms treaties that aren't going to protect anybody from illegal activity. Yeah. You've got a president who now, using the UN treaty as a basis, will probably try to sit there and take the handguns through executive order if he thinks he can get away with it and not get his ass kicked out of office. Because you know he's not going to get killed. He's got protection. So, right. You know, when you look at these things, in play, then 2 billion rounds of ammunition, 2,500 light armored tanks, blah, 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 the so-called Department of Homeland Security. I ultimately think, and I stand by what I said just a little bit ago, that this is a war ongoing in America, but it's not a war against nations like Iraq or Afghanistan. It's a war of the government versus the people. And it's a war that, unfortunately, unless we wake up soon, we're actually going to lose. And, I mean, you know, it isn't just the presidency and the White House and the Congress that's not transparent. It comes all the way down to the local level as well. This is a system of government that we've got to try to figure out how to control. Dale, we're not going to have any closing music tonight, obviously, and we're coming up on closing time. You know, give me your final thoughts, my friend.
Well, we started out talking about the gun treaty, and it's just a sham and a fiasco. We talked about the controllers, and this is why I'm glad that we can come to the airwaves here and talk about what's really going on. You got to look at what I've been saying for years, who is pulling the strings, the marionettes. I saw an article recently where all the former presidents were going to get to get together with Obama. You look at all these people standing in a room, and people think that they hold the power, but they don't, because there's so many people that decide who gets to be president. And people say, oh, we get to vote on it. Well, look at the Diabol voting machines, and look at the choices they give you, and look at what they do to you when you try to voice your concern and your opinion of the choices in the Republican and Democratic conventions. We saw that Obama had no opposition as a sitting Democrat, and it's almost like unheard of anymore. You don't ever have a party run against a sitting president, so they're guaranteed either 8 years that they win or 4 more years before the next person comes through the farm system. And that's what they do. They try to farm out these candidates for one to be after another to be cookie-cutter candidates. And we got to stop thinking that the ones who are at the top of the ballot are in charge and realize that it's the ones pulling their strings. It's the ones on top of all of them, these internationalists that we have to stare down and say death to the New World Order.
Well, I totally agree with you there. You know, when you talk about these things that are going on, this UN treaty, the handguns, all the other stuff, you know, we talk about the billions of dollars wasted in government. We've given some examples of tonight at the beginning of the show. You know, when you look at all of these things in a play, I mean, you really can't help but see that this is a systemic takeover. It's a deliberate, manipulative game that these political insiders in Washington is playing against the American people. The people that elect them to look out after their interests are the same ones who are taking away everything that's going to allow them to look out for themselves. You know, you talk about the Diabol machines in elections and like you shouldn't vote and elections really don't matter. To some degree, you're probably right. You know, but it's not just those Diabol machines. We had a story come out this week out of Queens, New York. A couple of politicians there, Malcolm Smith and Dan Halloran, were arrested for their attempts to manipulate this year's mayoral election right there in Queens, New York. So, you know, there's all kinds of ways to do this other than a Diabol voting machine. We have all kinds of election fraud going on, voter fraud going on across this country. And yet nothing is being done because Barack Obama's Department of Justice, run by Eric Holder, refuses to. Look at all the stories on the new Black Panther Party. You know, now this president is putting together a strike force that's going to go in any state sheriff or any city sheriff or whatever, county sheriff, that refuses to enforce the gun laws that he's going to get passed one way or another, whether he takes them by executive order or not, then they're going to be arrested and the feds are going to take over. You know, when you look at this, who is the Department of Justice to hold anybody accountable? You know, they pick and choose what they want to do with the law. Who are they to hold our county sheriffs that are elected or our state leaders that are elected for refusing to follow a federal order? You know, this country was founded on we the people. It's supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. We have forgotten that. I don't know why we forgot it. I don't know why people are so easily manipulated, but we have. We have this thing called states' rights. The federal government, these United States of America folks, were united for one single purpose: national security. The states are supposed to have the right to do their own thing and make their own rules. You know, with some exceptions, you can't discriminate. You know, those kind of things we can agree with. But for somebody to come into Kentucky and tell us that we don't have the right to bear arms would be one of the most foolish mistakes that this administration could ever make, especially when you consider that the Arizona mountains are full of Mexican drug cartels and drug lords that are carrying around AR-15s openly that we know all about, and we're not doing anything to take our sovereign land back from the drug dealers. There's a lot of hypocrisy in government. And you've got to wake up and make changes, because if you don't wake up and try to force those changes, it's going to get a lot worse. Pay attention to what's going on right now with this arms treaty. It's going to be a very serious thing in the next few months, I promise you. Pay attention to what's going on with your economy right now. Thanks to the lack of transparency and the lack of control and spending, you're going to see this country lose 25% of its wealth overnight in less than 2 years. I firmly believe that. And when that happens, the Great Depression will look like a blip on the radar. Trust me, you ain't seen nothing yet. Get ready, get focused, get involved. It's your country, and it's what you make of it. We appreciate you listening. Tomorrow night, Dale, anything special?
Well, if the Blog Talk equipment holds up and my voice holds up, but we're going to talk a little bit about another act that was passed this past week that most people probably didn't hear about in mainstream, and that was the Monsanto Protection Act, and it basically gives Monsanto the power to nullify any decisions of federal courts, and that's a signing of the Monsanto Protection Act that went into law last week, signed by President Obama, and it talks about everything in agriculture that Monsanto's over, so we'll talk about that super hot topic tomorrow night.
I'm looking forward to that myself. For you guys who don't know what Monsanto is, you need to get involved with that. Monsanto is the ones who manipulate your food. And, you know, these ingredients and all this other crap that Monsanto does has led to cancer, death, and you would not believe the rest. Check out the story on Monsanto and tune in to Dale the Truth tomorrow night. Thank you so much, Dale. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, TNT, Thursday Night Radio with Dale the Truth will be here. Sunday night at 7 o'clock with a good friend, Ken Moman, over at Liberty Unbridled. Don't forget to check him out as well. Both those shows are at 7 o'clock, and I appreciate you listening in tonight. For you guys who are listening to this on the replay, and for you guys who are still listening live and in the queue, I appreciate you as well. We apologize for the audio inconvenience. Apparently, there was a problem with Blog Talk. Our audio studio is not working for some reason tonight, so we didn't have the intro that we normally have, and you're not going to get any music when we leave, which we're doing right now. So, you know, we thank you for listening. We'll try to have that worked out by tomorrow. We'll contact Blog Talk, see what's going on. In the meantime, have a great night. Thank you so much. Take care.